Who of you this morning are in need of God's provision? Do you need physical healing? There's a sickness, a disease, an upcoming surgery that you need. Do you need His provisions for your emotional and mental state? Something tragic has happened in your life? Is your need for God's provision financial? You've lost your job, or your income has dropped, or maybe you were in trouble before the virus hit, and now it's even worse. Do you need provision for a relationship to be restored? It's a family member, it's a close friend, or at least it was. It's co-workers. Whatever it might be, maybe that's where you need God's provision. Or maybe, do you need just a fresh wind of faith, wisdom, love, or hope? Well, whatever you need, God can provide. His provision is available for you and for me. And it's not just enough that He provides. He'll provide more than enough. You see, His provision comes in abundance. His provision comes in surplus. You see, God is the perfect provider whose personalized provisions are positively profitable perpetually. As I've mentioned these last few weeks, a few times, I'm looking for God's provision. I just counted up this morning, there are 7 major things in my life where I'm looking for God's provision today or in the very near days to come. So I'm taking all this in and I'm reminding myself, I'm replaying this and the previous sermons over and over and over in my spirit as encouragement for what God's going to do that He hasn't done yet. You guys are there too, maybe. Now, I've already shared messages on God's provision being perfect, personal, and positive. There's just 2 more in this series. Today I'm going to talk about God's provision being profitable, and next week on His provision being perpetual. Profit. I'm talking P-R-O-F-I-T. To some Christians, that may seem like a bad word. We may think about TV preachers who only talk about wealth and prosperity in their messages. Hey, just send the ministry $10 or $100, or hey, be really generous and skip your house payment, give us $1,000. See what the Lord will do. Well, to each his own, but that's just something I almost hate when the focus is only on that, to give just so that God gives you a profit. The basic idea of profit is that you get more than you give. And the dictionary even says that the definition of profit is a valuable return or gain. And for the most part, when we hear the word profit, just in everyday life, or maybe what you're thinking already in this message, is that I'm going to talk about money. And nothing could be further from the truth. I'm actually going to share about how God's provision is profitable in a number of areas, over a dozen areas that the Bible talks about, and only one has to do with money. So stay tuned in and hear what God's Word has to say about His provision being profitable. You know, if I invest $50 and buy one share of stock in a company and then later sell it for $75, well, I've made a profit. If I invest 12 years of going to school and then later I can read and write, I've made a profit. If I invest my emotional bank account in the life of another person and then later I have a dear friend, well, that's a profit. When we get more than we give, it's a profit. And profit, as I'm going to try to stress, is not a bad thing. In fact, in the Bible, there's several biblical principles throughout the Word about profit. Now, profit can be a money thing, but it's not the only profit thing. With God, profit can come from giving nothing, but getting something. It can come by giving a little, and yet later getting a lot. Today I'm going to be sharing the scripture, several scriptures, like I said. It's going to talk about how we can profit in many ways in our lives. In fact, let me just run through the list real quickly of the ways I'm going to be talking about that scripture refers to getting a profit. From wisdom and learning, understanding, birthdays, death, grace, wealth, that's the only one that has to do with money, Christ, profiting through godliness, mercy, peace, and love, profit through children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, faith, the church, and then even profit in all things. So let me start with this very first one, this very first category, wisdom and learning. Proverbs 1:5 says this, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning." Proverbs 9:9, "Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning." And one last proverb, 3:13, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding." Listening, learning are profitable, and it comes from God. Well, let me throw this one out, and I got a couple other proverbs for this, and that is birthdays are profitable. Now, my father-in-law, Glenn, he just turned 96 several weeks ago. And he was here at the parsonage yesterday and around the church yesterday with the weed eater, cutting down the weeds. He does not stop. He does not stop, and he's 96 years old. Way to go, Glenn. And then his wife, my mother-in-law, Jean, tomorrow she turns 94. But Jean could use our prayers. As healthy as she is and as good a shape as she's in, there's been some issues that she could use prayer. So be praying for Jean if you would. Here's two proverbs that have to do with how birthdays are profitable. 10:27, "The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short." And then Proverbs 9:11, "For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life." Well, certainly Gene and Glenn have had many years added to their life through their fear, their respect, their reverence of the Lord. Wealth is profitable. Now, this is the only one I'm going to mention. There's a few verses I'll read that have to do with money and profit. Proverbs 11:24. Isn't it amazing how many proverbs come up with all the wisdom that they have on so many different subjects? Proverbs 11:24 says this, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another person withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." Now we're going to go to Ezekiel 28:4. "By your wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth." Notice the word "gained" "for yourself and amassed gold and silver in your treasuries." It just continues to build. All the way back in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. Not just wealthy, but very wealthy. Deuteronomy 8:18. This kind of answers the question, where does wealth actually come from? So many times we think it's, well, I got my education, and then I was able to get this job, or I was able to start this business, I was able to do this or that. And certainly those were God-given things, and you did your part, we do our part. But ultimately, where does wealth come from? Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." If you have any wealth at all, you can thank your teachers, you can thank your boss, you can thank your dedication and hard work, but thank the Lord, because ultimately it comes from Him. 1 Chronicles 29:28, He, King David, we're talking about, died at a good old age, having a long life, wealth, and honor. So he got the blessing of the birthdays as well as the wealth. Here's one from Matthew, and it's a story, it's a parable that's told, Matthew chapter 25. There was a man, and then we're getting into the end of the story. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. So there were 3 men, and they were all given so many bags of money, and then they were told that the master was going to be gone for a while and he would come back. Well, 2 of them invested well enough that they each doubled what the master had given them. And then it says, his master replied to these 2, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." In this case, as people made a profit, the master gave them yet even more. And that's what God will do, as he and his provision is profitable. Now, these next verses I'm going to read, pay close attention to a particular word that's going to appear in every verse, and it has to do with abundance. Genesis 24:35. "The Lord has blessed my master abundantly." So not just enough, but more than enough. "And he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle and silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys." Today it would be SUVs and boats and motorcycles. Genesis 27:28. "May God give you heaven's dews and earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine." Deuteronomy 28:11. "The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity." Again, not just prosperity. That'd be good enough. I'd take that. But it's abundant. It's a great return, a great gain, a surplus. "The Lord God will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you." Psalm 31:19. "How abundant are the good things." Remember, that's what we talked about even just last week, that God's provisions are positive or good. "How abundant are the good things that you, God, have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you." Psalm 132:15. I told you there were a lot of scripture today. "I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food." Just 3 more on this particular category. Proverbs 12:11. "Those who work their land will have abundant food." Again, not just enough, but more than enough, abundance. "But those who choose or chase fantasies have no sense." Deuteronomy 8:13. "And when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase profit," and then you have multiplied, and it goes on to talk about God's provision. And one last one on this category, Psalm 144, 13 says this: our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase, listen to this, by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Now that's quite a profit. Well, I told you there were several categories. We've gone through a few already. The next category is, and this one will be hard to imagine when you hear it on the surface, even death is profitable. Now, here's what the Bible says about that. And the Apostle Paul wrote this to the folks in Philippi, and it's recorded in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So even there's profit in death. You know, eternity with Christ is the greatest profit we will ever make. Next category is Christ and godliness is profitable. We're still staying in Philippians for this next one, chapter 3, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Christ and godliness is profitable. And then here's one more from 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Major, major profit. Grace is profitable. Romans 5:17. Listen for it. For if by the trespass, and that was sin, of the one man, and that was Adam, death reigned through the one man, well, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life of this one man, this other one man, Jesus Christ? Grace comes in abundance from God. 1 Timothy 1:14 says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And 1 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Not just enough grace, not just enough peace, but more than enough. More than enough, a gain, a surplus, a profit. Another category, mercy, peace, and love are profitable. Jude 1:2, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. How much more clearly is that? 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. As God abundantly provides mercy, peace, and love to us, the idea is that that should be spilling out onto others. Everybody should get wet in this deal. Another category, I mentioned that children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and so forth, are profitable. Now, it may depend on which kid and which day, but this is what the Bible says in Genesis 16:10. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. A promise to Abraham. Genesis 17:2, then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Even kids and your family is profitable through God's provision. And one last one on this category. Genesis 16:24, That night the Lord appeared to him, we're talking about Isaac in this case, and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So the promise to Abraham kept going down to the next kid and the next kid and the next kid. How about faith being profitable? Luke 17:5. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Give us a return. Give us a surplus. Give us abundance in this thing called faith. Here's a verse that talks about the church being profitable. You have to listen close. It's in Acts 6:7. And in the book of Acts, it tells us how the church itself, the church, not the Baptist church, not the Friends, not the Methodist, not the Quaker, or any of the specific brands of church, the church of Jesus Christ. It all started and is recorded in the book of Acts. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. When the church started, it took off like a rocket. And here's the last one, the last category, and I mentioned it, that the Bible tells us that all things are profitable. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly. I hope we've gotten that message all throughout this morning. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. I've got one final thought as I wrap up the message, one final thought about profit. It's a really important question that we all have to answer. There's a scripture in Mark. I'm going to refer to the scripture that's in Mark. It's chapter 8. And I'm going to start with, verse 34. Then calling to the crowd to join his disciples, he said, and these are Jesus' words now, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and the sake of the good news, you will save it. And here's the key verse I want to stress. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Chapter 8 of Mark, verse 36, I'm going to read that again. And what do you benefit? The King James translation actually says, what does a man profit? And what do you benefit or profit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything more valuable than your soul? Is the question the Bible asks. There's a lot we could gain in this world. A house, or houses, properties, land, businesses, vehicles, furniture, clothing, collectibles, boats, motorcycles, campers. I mean, again, the list could go 401k, that's bigger and bigger. There's a lot of things we could do to gain the whole world, or what it seems like to us, the whole world. But you know, nobody comes close to owning the whole world. Even these people that the news will talk about, the one percenters, and those people seem to own a lot. In fact, it's something I've read is that actually probably most of us on this attending this service are one percenters. I think the number is around $40,000 for a family. That if you make that, you're in the top 1% of all those in the world as far as wealth. But think of even the wealthiest people in the world. One of the tops, he's not the top anymore, but Bill Gates is somebody we're all familiar with. He owns multiple houses, multiple businesses. He owns a lot of things. But when you think of where he lives in Seattle, he doesn't own all of Seattle. He owns a fraction of what is in Seattle. So if he only owns a fraction of what's in Seattle, he owns even a smaller fraction of what's in the state of Washington, and even a smaller fraction of what's in the United States, even a smaller fraction of what's on the earth, even a smaller fraction of what's in the whole universe of God's creation. What would it profit a man, the Bible says, Jesus asked this question, if he could gain, and no one can, but if you could gain the whole world, and on one side of the scale is the earth and everything in it and on it, and on the other side of the scale is Jesus. It's our soul. Which one weighs more? Well, instantly, our soul is the more valuable. That's what the Bible is trying to tell us. While God can cause us to get more than we give in this world, all that is worthless, all those worldly things are worthless compared to our soul. And again, don't take this wrong, because I've read you a number of scriptures that having wealth and land and cattle and good producing farmland and a ranch, money in the bank, clothes and food and family and friends, all those things the Bible says are God's provisions are profitable, but not that valuable compared to our soul. Here's the thought. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, Jesus as your Savior, then you've already answered this question of what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul. But if you have yet to answer it, then I would say choose it today and get the greatest profit of all. To spend all of eternity with Jesus and with God the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. I'm going to pray a prayer to end. And if you've not made that commitment, I hope you would do that even now, or that this prayer would help you to consider doing this soon. Let's pray. Father, it seems like our nature, our human nature, our nature of being Americans is just to want more and more and more of this world. And we thank you for all that you have given us and will give us and gladly give us, and not just give us enough, but give us more than enough. Give us abundance. Give us gain. Give us profit. But Lord, it's all rubble. It all is worthless if we have lost our soul. And our soul is lost if we've not asked you into our life. So right now, I just pray for those who are struggling. Maybe they know you, God, they've read your Bible, but they've not made a personal commitment to following you. I pray that in these messages, in today's messages, as the Holy Spirit speaks even right now, that they would say, yes, Lord, I want you. I want to save my soul. I want to gain my soul above all else. I ask you to come in my life even now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you've made that commitment, I pray that you would find a good Bible-believing church, a Bible-teaching church to attend. Again, several of you already have churches that are it's your home church, and I'm thankful that you're adding the messages from the Kennard and Caddis Friends churches to your menu each week. But if you don't have a church, and as we get to go back into the building, I encourage you, if you would like, to come visit the Caddis Friends Church or the Kennard Friends Church very soon. And remember that website, PastorBobLines.com, and you can have this message replayed. Now go and be blessed and be a blessing.